Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm your host, Mukbil Yabro, coming to you live from Washington, D.C. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan, Sudan, and the rest of Africa on Thanksgiving holiday, Thursday, November 28th, 2024. Some residents of Eastern Equatorial State Capital Taurid are calling on state authorities to build recreational centers.
They should at least build some good clubs here, because if you could see how the town is now changing, there are some good buildings now. People who are doing bad business, so they should put that effort of making it look presentable.
And Americans travel to join families for Thanksgiving festivities.
So Thanksgiving has become, I mean, on the one hand, it's a time for families to be together and make huge amounts of food, and many of them watch football. And, you know, it's meant a time to give thanks.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Americans nationwide are celebrating Thanksgiving today, a time when people give thanks for what they have. The national holiday was not proclaimed until 1863 by President Abraham Lincoln during the Civil War. But as U.S. history professor at George Washington University, Hope Harrison, explains, the first Thanksgiving dates back to 1621 when the Pilgrims arrived in the New World.
The Pilgrims wanted more freedom and, in fact, independence than they could have in England. They didn't like being under the crown, the King of England, and sought to explore new lands and set up colonies. Hence, they were called the colonists or the Pilgrims in the New World, which is what became known as the U.S. So they set out on a daring voyage, a long trip over the high seas, and ended up on the East Coast in what would become Massachusetts, near a place that is called Plymouth Rock.
And this happened in September 1620. They were on a really small ship. And then when they got there, like, it was pretty horrible for the people. A lot of them were already suffering on that ship, right?
So coming over on this small ship called the Mayflower, they were in obviously very close quarters. Some people got sick. Back then, we knew nothing about medicine compared to what we know now. So some of them had diseases which they died of, or they landed with these diseases, such as smallpox, and spread them to the Native Americans.
And speaking of the Native Americans, it was a couple of the Native Americans approached them and tried to help them, right? They had these outbreaks of contagious diseases, but despite that, they received help from the Native Americans, right?
Well, the Native Americans initially sought to help these sick people and obviously were also a bit nervous. You know, who were these people? These were their lands. They looked different. They acted differently. They spoke differently. This was the beginning of this interaction between the colonists coming over from England and the people who had long been settled on the lands.
It's a tradition where we Americans, we get together and we have this big feast. We make turkey and all these side dishes like cranberry sauce and potatoes and all different kinds of vegetables. And it's a celebration of that time that you're describing. But some people, especially Native American people, say that the true history, like the bloodshed and the oppression that followed that first initial meetings between a couple of Native Americans and these Pilgrims, is covered up in a lot of the teaching of the U.S. history in our schools to children. Do you agree with that?
Yes, that is absolutely the case. You know, all nations have what they call founding myths. You know, moments that they look back even though they weren't alive at the time, but they look back metaphorically the founding of their country. And of course, they want to be proud of that. So things get pushed aside and whitewashed and, in fact, often erased that don't go with a comfortable, happy, proud narrative about the founding of the country. And so what is, in fact, the biggest celebration of a holiday, more than Christmas, because Thanksgiving gets people of any religion. It's not a religious holiday. You know, you celebrate kids in schools. They dress up as the pilgrims. Some dress up as Indians. You have pageants, and you celebrate what was supposedly this peaceful coming together in 1621. The pilgrims were celebrating a good harvest, and the Wampanoag Native Americans came to join them, and they signed a mutual defense pact.
That was Hope Harrison, U.S. history professor at George Washington University. She was speaking with VOA's Carol Van Dam in Washington. The eastern Equatorial state capital, Torit, has beautiful scenery with mountains surrounding the town, but residents of the town say there are no recreational centers for families to spend time away from home. They say state government should beef up security at night to encourage investors to open movie theaters and clubs across the town. For VOA News, Kaltuma Vanessa reports from Torit.
Torit is located approximately 150 kilometers from South Sudan's capital, Juba. If you want to spend a weekend in Torit, be prepared to go to bed early because there is no nightlife after 6 p.m. local time. Unlike Juba, Torit residents say it is one of the most peaceful towns in eastern Equatorial State. Torit trader Opio Innocent says he spends his weekend in one of the bars drinking. He's calling on the local business community to create more safe places for nightlife in town.
You just select where you can take your time, but mostly people in the place where I'm talking here, people like it because the place sometimes is safe, and these small boys always, they are also restricted and they are controlled from entering it always. Mostly weekend in Torit, the mood you see mostly when the game come back like this, mostly this Premier League game and clubs game, when it is back like this, you will see with the mood of people, of the fans of different clubs. Through that you find most of the places which they like spending weekend. This is a place.
Torit resident Richard Akim says he likes watching soccer matches of the English Premier Leagues at his favorite local bar, but it can be risky getting home.
I'm not a hangover, but when we win the game like this, sometimes I can dance, can take soda, we dance up to 2, sometimes until morning. So when I go home, feel free. In weekend like this, you find majority, they're enjoying, but probably in this time, things are not okay. Crisis is there, even the security sometimes is not good at night when you're moving. Find out some of the stubborn people can rob you on the way when you are going back home. They always depend on people who come for enjoying themselves. They thought that they have money.
Ugandan Sarah Aja, who works as a waitress in a bar, says she misses her country. Ja says she likes dancing, but Torit town has no good clubs and finds life very boring at night.
I do go for 1-2 bottles, then I go home. I don't like dancing so much because there is no serious club here, just bars, you know. So there are no clubs, so I don't really enjoy. They should at least build some good clubs here, because if you could see how the town is now changing, there are some good buildings, people who are doing bad business, so they should put that effort of making it look presentable.
Torit resident of Ho John Lewis says the town should have places for the children to play with their parents outside over the weekend. He recommends the town create recreational areas to keep children busy with healthy activities.
Unfortunately, we don't have some creation grounds
where somebody may go with their family, spend their weekend with their kids, so that the kids also will know that there is something called weekend. And also they will appreciate, really, our parents are caring for us. In the previous years, we have been having some places around Kinatie there, where there is that bridge crossing the when you are going to Gumbo. There is another area there, it was called Kormoloto. People may create things that on Saturday or Sunday, we are going to that place and people go and spend there. Some people even can take these music, even some dramas, they will go there, they spend the whole day there, even they slaughter the goat.
Many families are confined to their homes at night across South Sudan because of insecurity. Ofoho urges the government to improve security and encourages investors to build recreational centers across the state. For VOA News, I'm Kaltuma Vanessa reporting from Eastern Equatoria State Capital, Torit.
Residents of the Upper Nile State capital, Malakal, say their talents are going to waste because there are no recreational centers for developing skills in music, drama, and other areas. Some residents say the few nightclubs and bars that exist are forced to close as early as 9 p.m. because most customers leave early. For VOA News, Mamet Abraham Kwat reports from Malakal.
As darkness falls over Malakal town, the Souk Kabir and Souk Four markets close. The main street in the town is busy between 5:30 and 7:30 p.m. with vehicles carrying commuters to the UN-run Protection of Civilians site. By 9 p.m. local time, all businesses fall up. Only a few people are on the street rushing home. 20-year-old Bagowal says he is not making good use of his talent. He says Malakal residents are afraid of the police and gangs at night, so they resist going out.
They should untie the issue of joint operation because they are picking people randomly these days. They don't pick you because you are a gangster. They pick you because you dress like a gangster. That is a big issue. So for Makwele, that thing is everywhere. And most importantly here, I don't see it. If the government or if there's anyone who can build a good nightclub, I think there can be a change here. Because there are talents that are promoted in such kind of places like dance, comedy, music. Me, myself, I'm a dancer. But since I came here, I've never danced. That is because there's no way I can dance.
He says the few nightclubs that are open in town are very expensive, so only a few customers stick around for more than a few hours. 38-year-old Kenyan national Susan Wangare says the population of Malakal is growing. She says she misses her friends and the previous life she had in Kenya.
Nightlife in Malakal is too boring because at 9, everyone, they have already gone to sleep. But for us in Kenya, by the way, we enjoy because you can find even a place until morning. If we can get a place people they can come and enjoy up to morning, it will be better. The time I came here, the population was very low. At least now I can see there is many people. The town at least is showing like it's going to grow.
Malakal resident Malek Bol Malek says recreational centers could foster peaceful coexistence in Malakal town. He says some residents are still traumatized by previous violence and fear that conflict might erupt in the city anytime. Malek says he once formed a joint dance group comprised of the tribes in Upper Nile State, but he did not get the needed support to sustain the group.
A lot of people wanted to enjoy in Malakal especially, but due to the situation that we have and due also to the trauma that maybe things can repeat itself again. That's why those business people, they're supposed to make a nice club in Malakal. They assume that maybe one day thing can happen, people will run, and what he did may be a loss for him. Government also is supposed to call all those chiefs, all those tribes, to do a conference to talk about how they can live together, and there is no need for hitting each other.
Malek says potential investors still fear setting up entertainment venues in Malakal because of looming instability. 31-year-old Abeba Teklay, a mother of one, says she closes her bar at 9 p.m. because there are no customers at night. She urges the Upper Nile government to open roads from Paluch, Baliet, and Maluth to Malakal to boost business activity, including nightclubs and bars.
Let them construct road from Malakal to Paluch, Baliet, and those towns close to Malakal, and I believe the youth will not think otherwise. They will think of their work and their future. But now that the roads are closed, the youth are staying in one place and are unable to work. I urge the government to make roads because those roads are not so good and not like roads in other cities.
Malakal experienced massive destruction of property and livelihoods during the 2013 and 2016 conflicts and repeated rounds of ethnic violence that have displaced many people. But since the deployment of the necessary unified forces in Malakal and its surrounding areas in November 2023, residents say security has improved. In late May 2024, ethnic targeted killing erupted in the town, leading to loss of many lives. UN mission in South Sudan, or UNMISS, called for restraint from the fighting parties and urged dialogue to solve their differences. For VOA News, I am Amer Abraham Kwod, reporting from Upper Nile State's capital, Malakal.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, if you're planning to travel to spend your weekend in Bor for the first time, should you think twice? Find out more after the break. Young men and women living in the Jonglei state capital Bor say insecurity caused by the presence of suspected gangs has affected nightlife in the town. For VOA News, Manyang David Mayar reports from Juba.
It is 6 p.m. in Bor, and most of the town residents are deserting the town. 30-year-old Bor resident Isaac Garang says it is too risky for him to hang around in the town at night.
Me, I do come home at 7 p.m. because of the insecurity and because of these gangs here in this area. So I fear because of many things, wrong things which do happen at evening hours, night hours, like maybe snatching of phones from these gangsters. Most of my friends, their phones have been taken. They end up getting beaten in some areas. So people at night, people sleep. You can't push yourself to go outside when there's no security. It's better for you to stay at home.
Akwaju Manyok, who also lives in Bor, says travelers planning to visit Bor town must be prepared to remain indoors at night time.
Cannot manage to work at night. When you work at night, maybe you will meet with this crew and sometimes they will beat you. You know, you cannot risk your life and you need to be careful with your life. This time around, people don't need to joke with their own life because there's a lot of crisis.
Most towns in South Sudan have no electricity, forcing residents to depend on generators and solar panels for powering their houses and businesses. 25-year-old T. Roda, another Bor resident, says life after dark is boring in Bor town.
You will not even thinking to go outside because the mosquitoes will eat you. You just be indoor inside the mosquito net. And it was so terrible now, like, to go back. But I don't have otherwise.
Rhoda says there are no nightclubs in the town. All she can hear is dogs barking and cock crowings in the early morning hours. 30-year-old Bor resident Jacob Ball says sometimes he catches a music concert by a local artist in Bor town.
Whenever the shows are happening, it is kind of a hard spot for the crime. So sometimes you can only go at around 6 to 5, from 5 to 6. After 7, and at 7, then you go home and you don't have to return to town again because there's nothing more to do in town because the shops closes and there is nothing like the afterlife, like the nightclubs.
In September, Jonglei State Governor Majub Bieltruk issued an order banning the sale and consumption of alcoholic beverages and drugs, saying there was widespread drug abuse among local young men and women, which has fueled the high rate of crimes in the state capital, Bor. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayer in Bor.
As some residents of South Sudan's capital turn in for the night, Juba Town remains a lively hub of entertainment with several clubs and other venues for live bands. The local motorbike taxis known as Bora Bora make more money at night, ferrying partygoers from one club to another. For VOA News, Dennis Longonyi reports from Juba.
As night falls over Juba, the city transforms into glittering venues that attract people from across the city. The streets, some without lights, that were busy during the day with cars, are replaced by booming music. In the darkness, a sense of freedom from traffic officers allows individuals to enjoy beats of live bands from Lingala as well as pop music. Bros, known as Brother and Sisters, a local hub located at the riverbank of the Nile, is the oldest club in Juba. Several people flock to it on weekends. Kiden Masi is one frequent visitor of Bros.
It's a very calm place, and it's also located near the river, so you definitely get the breeze. And the second thing is that I love the music that's being played, the live band. Because most times when you're from work, you need to refresh your mind, you don't need loud music. But then here at Bros, it's live, like the vocals, the instruments, which really soothes your day. The security isn't bad, because we have the street lights, and they protect us from the criminals.
Yuga Edward is the manager at Bros. He boasts of a diverse clientele, including government officials.
The first entertainment we started was the live band. So the live band has been here like for now 10 years. And the category of clients that normally come for the live bands, these grown-up people who are responsible, especially from the government side. So we have been engaging them for these 10 years. We've been containing them. We've been providing them with adequate service.
Bars and cafes around the Atlabala residential area offers a different nightlife. Mandela Nelson says he enjoys spending time listening to pop music playing in the background.
Life is booming. Juba is like the New York of Africa. The nightlife is booming. I mean, people party from Wednesday until Monday. I mean, nightlife is booming. If you see the kind of micro-businesses that happen during the night, they're even more than what business that happen during the day.
Mandela says life is different in Juba at night. He need not worry about roadblocks that he encounters during the daytime.
They are border riders, young people who work transnight, carrying people from one club to another club because they are partying, they're enjoying life. So please, come and visit our country, come and visit Juba, come and visit South Sudan, so that you can see by yourself and go and write the positive stories that you have seen.
Nelson says it's not unusual for him to drive home from the clubs at 5 a.m. Youth make up the biggest percentage of the population in South Sudan, with a majority of them spending their time dancing off the stress of unemployment, high rent and other societal problems. For VOA News, I'm Dennis Logoni reporting from Juba.
And back in the United States, President-elect Donald Trump says he intends to nominate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to lead the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Kennedy disagrees with much of the scientific community on subjects including vaccines and HIV/AIDS. VOA's Anita Powell has our story.
President-elect Donald Trump's message to his pick for top health advisor was simple. Go wild, he said, at a rally just before the election.
I'm going to let him go wild on health. I'm going to let him go wild on the food. I'm going to let him go wild on medicines.
Kennedy's room to go wild at the Department of Health and Human Services includes the nation's public health agencies and its medical research, along with government-funded health insurance for more than 140 million people.
Don't we deserve a president of the United States that's going to make America healthy again?
Kennedy is an environmental lawyer. His uncle was former President John F. Kennedy, and his father was former Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy. He ran for president this year as an independent candidate, quitting a Democratic Party that he said his father and uncle would not recognize, in part because of what he says are the party's ties to large pharmaceutical companies.
It has become the party of censorship. It's become the party of big pharma.
During the coronavirus pandemic, Kennedy backed false claims that included links between vaccines and autism and the existence of a U.S. government conspiracy to use COVID vaccines to experiment on Black and Hispanic Americans. Kennedy says he is not against all vaccines, but he does not want them to be mandatory.
anybody who wants to take a vaccine, I'm not going to get in their way. If you want a vaccine, or if you want to vaccinate your children, those vaccines will be available.
The World Health Organization calls vaccines a global success story that have saved millions of lives, a stance the UN body repeated shortly after Trump announced his intention to nominate Kennedy to the top health post. Dr. Margaret Harris is a World Health Organization spokeswoman.
Vaccines are the reason so many more of us have survived to adulthood than we ever did before. They are so effective that they're almost a victim of their success.
Kennedy's vaccine skepticism could affect whether insurance companies continue to cover them, says former Biden administration coronavirus response coordinator Dr. Ashish Jha.
RFK Jr. has demonstrated, I think, over decades that he doesn't understand the basics of scientific thinking and of rigorous analysis. He says things that are just flatly wrong, and he peddles in conspiracy theories.
Public health advocates have expressed concerns about Kennedy's views that HIV does not cause AIDS and that fluoride should be removed from U.S. drinking water. House Republican leader Mike Johnson says Trump and his cabinet have a mandate to shake things up.
The status quo is not working for the American people. And so these are persons who will go in and bring real reform, a significant reform to the agencies that they lead.
If confirmed, Kennedy would head an agency of more than 80,000 employees across the United States and around the world with a budget of $1.7 trillion. Anita Powell, VOA News, Washington.
That's all from us on this Thanksgiving Day, Thursday, November 28th, 2024. We now leave you with this song, Africa Moto by Mose Sesingo. Listening to Africa Moto by Mose Sesingo. For more on our programs, visit www.voaafrica.com. I'm your host, Mukbil Yabro, sitting in for John Tanza on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Helen Corcian, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember, join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
moto, moto, oye mama fiel.